Okay, good night again, everyone. We are grateful to God for the privilege to be here so we can study His Word together. We have been looking at the life of Jesus Christ, and we have been picking from His life the very elements of our own lives in Him. We saw that when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, what we have done really is an exchange. God has given us His perfect life in our spirit, and He has taken our sinful life. But when God looks at us, He does not see us as sinners made after the likeness of Adam, but He sees us as His righteous children made after the likeness of Christ in our spirit. And as we embrace the life of Jesus as ours, we begin to understand more and more who we are in Him. We do not walk around in condemnation. We walk around as children of the King, divine children of God. The Bible says, as many as received Him, God gave them the right. As many as received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, God has given them the right to become His children, a right that no one can take away from us. The last time we looked at Christ in our study, we saw Him in the synagogue or in the church at his time, declaring the presence of the Spirit of God on Him. We saw in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Him taking up the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and reading the scroll which defined His mission. And by extension, since we are now His representatives on earth, this is also our mission. And Christ declared in verse 18 of Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's the Spirit of God. Because He has anointed me. He has anointed me. In other words, He has imbued me with His power. With the full authority of His power. That's what the anointing is all about. With the anointing, we are operating under divine power, not human power. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, or those who are in bondage of the evil one. Christ came to declare liberty, the time of jubilee, the time of restoration, the time of healing and deliverance. That's why Christ came. He came to break the power of the devil. John 10:10, the Bible says, the thief, who refers to the devil, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that they might have life, and have it more abundantly. So Christ came so that we could experience His abundant life. Not the life that Adam gave to us through the fall, that we got through our birth parents. But He came so that we could experience the life of God in these bodies of ours. Paul in Romans chapter 8 describes this as a law. In Romans 8:4 he says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death in Adam. So everything that produces sickness and death and disease has come from Adam. But when we receive Jesus Christ, there's a new law of life that operates within us. And it is from that life we can speak life to others. We can speak restoration and healing and deliverance to others. And all of this is being effected through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. During the month of October, I'll be talking about the Holy Spirit. Tonight, we are talking about our forever friend. Because the Holy Spirit is our friend. He is not a thing. He is not a force. He is a person. And I'm going to look at the first promise tonight that Jesus gave of the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, I'm going to read verses 16 through 18, and then I'll read verse 26. So we look at the Holy Spirit throughout this month, and we look at his work, his ministry, how he relates to us, and how we should relate to him. In John chapter 14, Jesus was getting ready to return to his Father, and he gave his disciples the assurance that they should not allow their hearts to be troubled. Do not be worried, because he was going to be with them. In verse 16, he says to them, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. In chapter 16, verse 7, we'll come back to these verses again. Jesus said, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient or necessary for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So here we are, nearly 2,000 years since Jesus came in the flesh and left the earth. And because he has left, the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, and he has not left since. He is going to be with us forever. That was Jesus' promise in verse 14, in John chapter 14, verse 16. I will pray the Father that he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Drop down to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, he's being identified, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about him. We will not be able to explore everything tonight, so we'll do it in stages. But Christ had the complete blessing of the Holy Spirit. When he said in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me, he was speaking of the prophecy Isaiah gave in Isaiah 61. But even prior to that, in Isaiah chapter 11, the prophet speaks of the complete blessing of the Holy Spirit on Jesus Christ. I'm just going to read the first three verses of Isaiah 11, which speaks of the blessing of the Holy Spirit on Jesus Christ. Whenever we receive the Spirit of God, it's the complete blessing of God. Here's what Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 11. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. He's talking about lineage. Jesus being born out of Jesse. And David was a descendant of Jesse, and Jesus was a descendant of David through Joseph. So there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. This is speaking of Jesus. Verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That's Jesus Christ. And notice how the Bible describes the Spirit. The sevenfold blessing is the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And the spirit will give him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither shall he reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. That's speaking of Jesus Christ under the full anointing of the Holy Spirit. And notice how complete the anointing is. The anointing will give wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and knowledge, the fear of God. That's the power of the Holy Spirit in the life. It's amazing what the Spirit of God will do in the life of a person. And this is the Spirit that was given to us the day we received Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. I want us to read that in Ephesians chapter 1. You know, Jesus told his disciples the Spirit would be with them, but here's where it begins. The moment we receive Jesus Christ, the Spirit is with us. But then he got to be in us. And this comes as we recognize his presence and we invite him to occupy permanent residence within us. We must treat him with respect. We must recognize his presence and invite him to dwell permanently within us. Listen to what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1. Reading from verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, that's in Christ. We trusted in him, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So after we heard the preaching of the gospel, we trusted in Christ, we gave our lives to him, we invited him to come into our lives. The Bible says, in whom ye also trusted, and in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the guarantee. That's what the word earnest means. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So the Holy Spirit is going to be with us until we leave this earth, until Jesus returns. Notice, the Bible says we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So when Jesus says in John 14 and verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. People who are not born again cannot see or relate to the Holy Spirit. He says, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So there is a dwelling with, and there is also an occupancy within. Let's take some time and work with this. Christ prayed to the Father that he should give us another Comforter. Now, the English language is quite limited here. The word another is only one word in English, but in the Greek, the original Greek in which the New Testament was written, the word is allos. There are two words that are used for another in the Greek. One means another of a different kind and another of the same kind. For example, you may be driving a Ford F-150. And you may also get another Ford, which would not be an F-150. Maybe you get a Ford Edge. So it's another Ford, but of a different kind. But if I had an F-150 and I decided, you know what, I'm going to trade that in and I'm going to get another F-150, I got another of the same kind. So you can get another of a different kind or another of the same kind. And that's how definitive the Greek is. And the word that is used here as another is the word allos, which means another of the same kind. And the word used for comforter is the word parakletos, which are really two words. Para means alongside, and kletos comes from the word kaleo, which means to call. So the Holy Spirit really is one just like Jesus, another of the same kind, who has been called alongside the believer to be his advocate, to be his friend, to be his companion, to be always there with him, to guide and to direct him. So I do not ask God to send me the Holy Spirit because he is always with me. God has given him as a guarantee of my salvation. And so I must recognize him. And you can talk to him. Notice what Jesus said. I will ask my Father and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Not it. That he. So the Holy Spirit is not an it. He's a person. He can be grieved by our attitude toward him. If we treat him with indifference, if we treat him as a thing, then we are doing despite to the Holy Spirit. We are doing disrespect to him. The Holy Spirit is a person. Christ says, he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, he's called the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him. Not, notice the word him again, not it. Neither knoweth him, but ye know him. And let me explain this. Your spirit, if you have been born again, your spirit knows the Holy Spirit. Your head may not know him, but your spirit does. Because born again life was initiated by the Holy Spirit himself. Notice he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So the Holy Spirit is a he. He's not a it, he's not a force, he's not a breeze, but he's real. And we must treat him with utmost respect, just as we treat God the Father or Jesus Christ. Now Jesus is no longer here in the person, but he is here through his spirit. That's why he is called the Spirit of Truth. Remember Christ called himself in verse 6? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 14, verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Now, the Spirit of truth is really the Spirit of Jesus. So, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. He's called the Spirit of truth. So, when Christ said, I will not leave you comfortless. In other words, I will not leave you as an orphan. Verse 18. I will come to you. How will Christ come to me when Christ left? He comes to me through the person of the Holy Spirit. So I am never alone. Because the Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians 6:17, anyone who is joined to Christ is one spirit with Christ. So the Holy Spirit and my spirit are one. The Holy Spirit ministers to my spirit. The Holy Spirit ministers to your spirit. You're walking with the Lord. So Christ says he will never leave us nor forsake us. So I am never alone. No matter what I am going through in my life, I am never alone. And here's the problem. Because we do not recognize the Holy Spirit, we may think we are alone. But I tell you, when you start talking to him, you will feel his presence. You will see him showing up. So tonight, the Spirit of God is making you aware of himself. They can talk to him. Every blessing is coming through him. And we'll see this as we study. We'll do it point by point. Every blessing we receive from God is coming through the Holy Spirit. So we got to relate to him. Christ says he sends us another comforter, one equal with him, one just like him. He's not different from him. He is just like him. He's another of the same kind like Jesus. That he may abide with you forever. Notice the word may. The word may is there because we have the option of rejecting the Holy Spirit. We have the option of grieving the Holy Spirit, of not listening to the Holy Spirit. You know, many times when we are planning to do evil, the Spirit is talking to us, and sometimes we try to shut him down. Some people try to drown him with drugs and alcohol and music and all sorts of things. When the Spirit is speaking to them, when they are going the wrong way and the Spirit is trying to get them to go the right way. Have you ever been in a situation where you're planning to do something evil and your Spirit, which operates through the voice of conscience, is speaking to you and you would wish the Spirit would be quiet, but the Spirit is not quiet, he's continually speaking? And if we ignore him over and over again, after a while, the voice becomes more faint and we cease to feel anything at all and everything becomes normal. And there are some people who practice evil and doesn't do a thing to them because they have quenched the Spirit away from them. That's why Jesus says he may abide with you forever, because you have the option of telling him to leave you alone. I have the option of telling him to leave me alone. But why would I do that? And all the blessings of God is coming to me through the Holy Spirit. So this is a very precious promise. Christ has already prayed. This is when he gave the first promise. Later on, we'll see that the promise was fulfilled. The Holy Spirit came. Now, how do we relate to him? Notice he is called the Spirit of Truth. We cannot live in error. I expect the Spirit to endorse error. The Spirit will lead us to truth. The world cannot know the Spirit because the world is not walking Spirit. They are walking carnal. We come to know him because we have been born again of him. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 6, whatsoever is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So when we were born again, we are born again with life from above through the Holy Spirit. But notice this, while the Holy Spirit has been called to walk alongside us as a comforter, as a counselor, as a guide, as an advocate, he desires to be in us, to be always guiding and directing our every thought, word, and action. Jesus says he shall be with you, he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. That's where he wants to be. The Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and so I have to be very careful how I use this body temple. If I want the Spirit of God to dwell in me, I cannot do any and everything with this body of mine. And I'll tell you something, when the Holy Spirit starts dwelling in you, sickness and disease cannot stand the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we start speaking from the Spirit to all these foreign elements of the devil. That's why the Bible says, if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwelleth in you, that same Spirit will give life to your mortal flesh. That same Spirit will speak life to anything that may be dying in us. Romans 8 verse 11 tells us this. So Jesus gave us the assurance tonight that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And this promise is good. This promise is good. The Bible says all the promises of God are already yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is given to us to cash in on the promises of God, to make sure that the promises come through. Let's read that scripture. Go to 2 Corinthians. I hope you are taking notes on these scriptures. just teaching tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, reading from verse 20. Hope you have all found it. For all the promises of God, not some, all. For all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yea, or yes. In the life of Jesus, all God's promises are already answered, yes. When we are walking outside of Jesus Christ, that's another matter. But when our life is surrendered to Jesus Christ, every promise of God is already yes for us. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him are amen, or they are already settled. When he said amen, it's over. It's over with. The promises are already settled. They are yes and amen unto the glory of God by us. Now, verse 21 says, he which established us, or established us, with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God. Notice that. God has anointed us with Christ. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. Verse 22 says, this same God hath also sealed us. We read it in Ephesians chapter 1 just a while ago. God hath sealed us and given the earnest or the guarantee of the Spirit in our hearts. So the Spirit of God is operating from within us. And he's the guarantee that every promise of Jesus Christ will be fulfilled. And if you continue with us as we go through the study on the Spirit for this month, you would see how the promises of God are fulfilled through the person of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a friend we need to keep close to us all the time. Every moment of every day. Always talk to him. I speak to him all the time. Always in conversation with him. Because he's my advocate. He's my comforter. That's what the word comforter means. It means an advocate. It means a friend. It means a counselor. I'm not asking God to send him. I already have him with me. The moment I'm here online, he's online with me. Wherever you go, he is with you. That's the presence of Jesus. That's the presence of Jesus with you. That's the presence of Jesus with me. Because Jesus is not here in person, but he's here in the person of the Holy Spirit. So we must know these things. The word of God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If I do not know who I am and what God has given to me through the person of the Holy Spirit, then I walk in ignorance. And I treat the Spirit with disrespect, and I do not reap the benefits of his presence in my life. So it's very important for us as we go through this study to understand who the Holy Spirit is. He is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. God expressing himself first through his Son and our Savior Jesus Christ, and now he's expressing himself to the Holy Spirit, who comes as the representative of Jesus Christ. That's why Romans 8 verse 16 says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit is given to minister to our spirit to guide our lives, to bring the blessings of God to our lives, to search out the deep things of God and bring them to us. And we'll be looking at all these elements one by one so we could relate to the Holy Spirit and reap the benefits of his life, of his presence in our lives. And so tonight I want us to have the assurance that the promise of Christ is sure, that God answered his prayer. The Holy Spirit came. He came at Pentecost. He never left. He has been here ever since. And it is our privilege to relate to him. It is our privilege to be blessed by him with the complete blessing of God, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding and counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. All these benefits are ours through the person of the Holy Spirit. And know what the Bible says? Because we represent Jesus Christ in this world, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. He has anointed us to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recover sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, speech to the dumb, feet to the lame, healing to the sick, deliverance to those who are held in bondage by the devil. That's why tonight we can speak deliverance over people, because the Spirit of God is going to effect that deliverance. The Spirit of God is going to effect that healing. The Spirit of God is going to effect that blessing. I thank God for the presence of His Spirit in my life. And I thank the Holy Spirit for His constant companionship, His wisdom and His revelations in my life. It is our privilege to be the full beneficiary of His ministry. So tonight, I have a simple appeal to all of us. Take some time before you go to bed tonight and speak to the Holy Spirit. Tell Him you're sorry for not recognizing Him for who He is, and you want Him to enter your life, to be a permanent residence in you, to be your lifelong companion, your guide, your director, your instructor, to fill you with wisdom and understanding and knowledge in the deep things of God. Make this your prayer tonight. And after tonight, you make the Holy Spirit a constant part of your conversation with God, a constant part of your conversation in your life. He's delighted to be our advocate. You know, it's one thing when you have to go to court and you don't have a lawyer to speak for you. The Holy Spirit is like our lawyer. He speaks for us. Even when we pray, the Bible says He interprets our prayers. Take it to speak the language of heaven. So my simple appeal to us tonight as we start off this series on the Spirit of God, our friend, our forever friend, is for us to embrace and engage the presence of the Spirit of God. It's going to change your life. It's going to change your experience. It will bring new life and new energy to your life. Your life is going to start touching the lives of others, and things are going to happen because the Holy Spirit will be operating freely through you. And when the deed is done, do not take the credit, because the work is His, not ours. May this word remain with us tonight, and may this word be a guide to our lives, and may it be a foundation of our future experience in Jesus Christ through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.